Everybody. There never seems to be a time when there's not a war going on. Back in the 1060s, the Normans came over, who had already conquered most of Europe down to Italy, and came over and took over us English. They struggled with the Welsh, and we all struggled with the Scottish, so there was no... And then we went back in the 1400s with Henry V, a beleaguered army that went through Cherbourg, nearly got destroyed, and it came to Agincourt. Our finest hour with our 5,000 archers, and we destroyed the French army. But worse than that, when we capture the nobles, what you normally do is hold them for ransom. But on Henry V, he killed all the nobles. And then in the 1600s, we had the English Civil War. Englishmen fighting Englishmen, hard to imagine. And the turmoil it caused, and we go down the centuries, then in the 1700s, we decided to give the United States to the Americans. We couldn't take it anymore, so we let them win. And we gave up that. We kept Canada and the rest of the world. And you go war after war after war. And the problem is, I don't know much detail about these battles. I get to the Great War of 1914, 1918, and suddenly I find I have family involved. If I go to Beverly Minster, there's Lieutenant Southern, which is my wife's maiden name, one of her relatives killed in September 1918, just 2 months before the finish of the war. Can you imagine what the family and friends thought so close to the end? I was reading recently of a young man, 70, went to the army at the start of the war, the Great War in 1914, within 2 weeks had been killed. And we all thought, as you read your books, that when we start in August, it'd be finished by Christmas, but hundreds of thousands of men were killed, villages destroyed of males. They say the country's never recovered from that point. But it's a long time ago. And I was born in the 1950s, and of course, the war was still being sorted out. Although the war had finished some 6 years ago, 5, 7 years ago, there were still the trappings of war. My father survived the war. He was in the war. He's a Royal Engineer in the London Regiment. He survived. And my mother survived. She worked in the factories testing electrical equipment. And you say, well, that's great, Barry. But then on the other side of it, my mother was an only child. My father had a brother who was killed at Dunkirk in a tank, which meant for me, I have no cousins. And although it may be, well, it's minor, but then the troops that came back. When my mother was in her 70s, late 70s, early 80s, she said to my brother and I need to tell you something. She said, I married a man in the 1940s called Percy White. Now, I know that's not my father. He went away for 5 years and came back and he was not the man we knew. I knew. So we divorced and I then married your father. And she was telling us 50 years later, and I said to my mother, I already knew because I'd found my birth certificate when I was 18 and there was my mother's marriage certificate and I saw the... And the tragedies of war, men coming back with what we call that post-traumatic stress syndrome and the disease and all the rest of it, and we see the travesties of war. And yet, I've never been called up. I've never been conscripted. I was saying to Mark this morning, I wonder if in the 40s I would have gone to war. I don't know the answer to that. I wouldn't necessarily be a conscientious objector. I don't know how would have felt because I haven't got the emotions, the horror. And it's in these times that Mark and I were saying, God raises men and women for the occasion. And we know Winston Churchill, a man who was an orator. Now, if you're an English person here, your vocabulary is about 2,500 English words. If you've had to learn English, it may be slightly less. Winston Churchill used 25,000 words in his vocabulary. He was a man that most of us couldn't understand what he was talking about. And yet, on the 13th of May 1940, he became the Prime Minister during this war period. Neville Chamberlain, who'd returned from Germany with a bit of paper of peace in our time, and the Germans attacked Poland, and war was declared. We're now virtually a year afterwards. Winston Churchill, at the age of 65, my age, is made Prime Minister in this time. And he does his first speech in the Houses of Parliament because the country is nervous. The German army had swept across Europe with their Blitzkrieg. They'd gone into Poland, and it was a different army. My uncle at Dunkirk had an old-fangled British tank was useless against a German mighty power. He only got killed because his troops never got the army signal to retreat. And he was sent out to scout. I've subsequently learnt from dispatches, and he was killed. And I know my nan was devastated. And this is his first speech in the Houses of Parliament. I would say to the House, as I said to those who've joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I can say, it is to wage war by sea, land and air, with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalogue of human crime. This is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, it is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. I tried to do it in a Churchillian voice. I won't tell you what my wife said. And I didn't do it. I've not attempted it. But he was a man who captured the mood. Because German armies are swept across Europe and the Italian and a few others. And it was just, the only thing that separated was 20 miles of sea. Wars were raging in Japan and China across the Far East. The whole world was actually in turmoil and people thought, this is the end times. And when you read this talk, that could be describing you and me, the battle that we face as Christians in this series we're doing, the gates of Hades will not prevail. As I said to you, I was going to do this whole sermon without doing any Bible verses, just quotes from Winston Churchill. And so many people said, I'm glad you chose to put the Bible into your talk, Barry. But he said some amazing things. For example, he said, a pessimist sees the difficult in every opportunity. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Well, yes. But he was a man, did what he said. In the first great war between 14 and 18, you've heard about the tank that seemed to change the war and has changed the whole of modern warfare. It was Winston Churchill that drove that. He not drove the actual tank, but he drove the whole project over this to get the tank in place. He had a vision to realise that was what was needed. He also said this, and this is so apt for today. Once in a while you will stumble upon the truth, but most of us manage to pick ourselves up and hurry along as if nothing had happened. I was reading today, one of the politicians had, I think it was the Conservatives, had put together a costing of the Labour's spending things. And John McDonnell said, it's fake news. We know the phrase. And here is Winston Churchill saying it 70 years ago. Once in a while, you'll stumble upon the truth. But most of us manage to pick ourselves up and hurry along as if nothing has happened. We live in the Western world where liberty and freedom is more important than truth. We will fight for liberty and freedom, but not necessarily fight for truth. But Winston Churchill had it summed up. The truth is incontrovertible. Panic may resent it. Ignorance may deride it. Malice may distort it. But there it is. And our Lord said, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this morning, in the final one of our series, we've gone through lots of things this last 6-7 weeks. I want to give you a tip, a little trick, what makes a successful Christian. What will make you stand out from the crowd? And it's this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's the trick, in the name of Jesus. When Jesus called the 12 disciples in Luke 9, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power, from the Greek word dynamis, and authority, exousia, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases in the name of Jesus. Hands up. Those have cast out demons. Good. Hands up. Those who've cured diseases. We're on fire today. Jesus says, goes on to say, that he has won the victory. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what Winston Churchill was after. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm. Would I have gone to fight in 1940? My father signed up. My father-in-law kept signing up and signing up. Said, you can't go, you can't go, you can't go. Because you're in a specialised trade. And he fought and fought, in a proper sense with that gun, to join the RAF. As I've told you before, he trained as a pilot, went off to the States. And one of the tricks they had to do was fly towards this mountain and pull up. The plane in front went straight to the mountain. And it's only the second time one of his sons said to me, my father prayed. He was a lapsed Catholic, to say the least. And he prayed and his plane turned and his close best friend was killed in front of him, whose wife was called Louise, which is the name of my wife. How did Tom cope? They fought, as Winston Churchill said, for victory. They fought for freedom for humanity. And here in the Bible it says, we've won that spiritual freedom. And we're to stand firm. Hold on a minute. Stand firm. And don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. We can claim authority in the name of Jesus. There's something about that name that commands power and authority. When you pray, and this is what we put a couple of weeks ago, you know, prayer, that Greek word means towards, exchange, to wish, to pray, which means literally that we interact with the Lord by switching wishes, our wishes and ideas, for his, as he imparts it to us through faith. Prayer is that privilege of talking to a living God, and the Bible says he knows what's on our heart before it hits our lips. How come when I pray a prayer and God answers it 24 hours later, but then I realise he started 3 months before getting everything in place to answer my prayer? I can't understand that mystery, except he knew my heart. Because I cried out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, please heal my sister. Please heal my brother. It's not about me. Yes, I'm a great speaker. I'm a great looker. I'm a great father. I'm a great husband. I'm glad nobody said no or threw things at me. Okay, I'm not the best of looking people. I'll accept one. But the thing is, we have authority. Even when Jesus was tempted by the devil said, I've got power and authority all over the earth. Basically, Jesus said, he quoted scripture, said, go away. But even if you jump off this building, God will send his angels down. The devil knew who Jesus was. He knew exactly what he is. And he says this, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It's not down to my faith. If it was down to my faith, nobody would be healed. If it was down to my faith, nobody would be converted through my words or challenged by my counseling and my stunning techniques and personality. Because it's in the name of Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus that we can do anything. The letter comes. Barry, you're called up to fight. You're called up to report at this place, join this regiment. I don't know what I would say. I don't know what I would say. You've got to be just as strong to be a conscientious objector as you have to go to war. Could I kill a man? Perhaps from 3 miles away, press a button. But when I've spoken to people who were face to face, eye to eye, I'd find it hard. But fighting for freedom, fighting to ban fascism, which said my race is better than your race. And not black against white, white against white, religion against religion. Man, one man says, I'm better than you, therefore I'm going to kill you. 6 million Jews, amongst others, that were killed in the Second World War. Could I stand back and not do it? I don't know. But I never had to make that decision. Ted fought for our country up in Norfolk on an airfield when he was conscripted. He did his bit. They didn't want me. I was born too late. And God says, Barry, stand up for me. Sounds easy. The only problem is, when I put my spiritual head above the parapet, the enemy starts shooting at me. When you start to get serious with God, the enemy gets serious with you, because you are a risk to their faction and their fascism. And I don't like being attacked. I'm a spiritual coward at heart, but I can talk to God in the name of Jesus for help. And God says, not just about you calling upon me and doing mighty things, it's about serving. You've done a big leap, Lord, going from praying and casting out demons to serving. I'm an elder of the church. We have a triangle. You know, the elders, no, it's not like that. It's like that. We're at the bottom of the pile. We're the bottom. And some of us have got bigger bottoms than the others as elders. But we are the bottom of the pile. We are servants. And sometimes I say to God, this is my day off being a servant. 9 to 5, I don't serve this day. Who knows? It says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He keeps saying it. You know, it's like a broken record. In the name, in the name, in the name. Because you don't do it in his strength. And he says, give thanks to God the Father through him. He doesn't know what I have to deal with. The people I have to speak to. The mess I have to clear up. I'm supposed to the wisdom of Solomon. But I serve. I love. Because Jesus served me by dying on a cross. I try and love others. Because first God loved me unconditionally. I try to help others because I realized how the leaders here back 40, 50 years ago helped me. How the youth leaders were so patient with my eccentricities as a young person who never seemed to shut up. I was always excitable. Doing all things, giving thanks to God because I am a servant. And it goes on to say in Galatians, you, my brothers and sisters, not just brothers now, it says everybody, were called to be free. It keeps going back to this. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. When 1946 came and my father was demobbed, he then married my mother in 1948. They had nowhere to live. My parents lived in caravans because he worked for a company called W.C. French building sewerage works. Great demand there, all the people came back. And he went round the country, project managing. And he was at Stevenage project managing a sewerage works. And suddenly they wanted to build sewerage works at Rhymead in Harlow. So you could, you know, whenever. And he came into Harlow and they gave him a council house here. The first time in married life, 6 years, they had a house to live in. Freedom was not immediate. It took time. Because one thing about freedom is just sheer grasping it. They say, and I've read this, when soldiers become demobbed, leave the army, they struggle. Routines are different. Nobody telling them what to do. And when they're in action, as you've seen, it's not, I mean, some have horrific physical damage. But when you watch the Invictus Games, do they give up? Do they feel useless? Pippa's not here today. My niece in the wheelchair who can't do anything. And I spoke a couple of weeks ago and she burst into tears. It was not because of my speaking. Because that was stunning. No, it wasn't. And afterwards, somebody said, your niece is crying. And Julie Mabry was talking and said, I said, Pippa, why are you crying? Is it because something your uncle said? She said, no, the Lord spoke to me. Pippa can't do anything for herself. She's in the last couple of years in her life, more than likely. And yet in her state of no physical movement, her brain is not quite there, she said, God spoke to me. A few weeks beforehand, I think it was Mark or somebody asked, if anyone wants to pray, stand up. She said to a carer, can you raise the height of my chair, please? If God can speak to her, he can speak to you. If he considers her worthy in her wasted body and the issues that she has, God can speak to you. She may be bound by her body, but she's free inside, free in her spirit. And God says, were you not called to be free? How often we seem to live in the chains of our life. Serving is hard, but it is remarkably fulfilling. I've learned so much in serving. Not that I'm good at it, because God gives me the difficult people. I've had to learn patience. I've had to learn to bite my tongue and then empathise with what they're going through. Well, all that Louise has gone through, any of you women got problems, I just chuck Louise at them because she's had most of the operations and most of the bits. But it's not about that. It's because God loved me. Because God reached out to tell me about the gospel all those years ago. And it's taken him 50 years to get me where I am today. I've not been the best of people. I've not been the best husband. I know it's going to be a surprise to you. I have. Louise has done a lot of work by the grace of God to make me what I am. Because God brings people alongside us to serve, to share, to show me something I've never had. I can remember going to dinner, invited to Sunday lunch, and we had a table where all the vegetables were put in dishes. I've never seen that before. My brother was telling my wife Louise one day, she said, the reason why Barry and I eat fast, because we didn't want to taste our mother's cooking. It was pretty awful. And I sat at this table with all these dishes, but then I realised what her brothers had done. They'd put me in the middle. Can you pass the peas? I spent the whole time, Louise said, next time get to the end of it, don't sit in the middle. But I saw a family life I'd never experienced before. And when I came to Christ, I saw a family life here that I'd never experienced. To be loved unconditionally is, I still can't fully take it in. To have somebody people who care for me ring me up. You ladies here mother me to bits when I need it. You're looking tired, Bray. That wasn't a very good talk, Bray. And I need that honesty. But of course, we are in a battle. It says in Ephesians, you know it so well, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers of the dark. We know it so well. I ask you the question, have you cast out demons? One day, a woman in here was screaming. Screaming and screaming. And it became a problem. One person got the police out. And I was in the foyer with one day, and I heard this voice. It was not her voice. And I said to her, as I looked at her, I said, tell me your name, please. And I watched this thing sink down her body. And I'd cast out demons, but I didn't. I said, God, what should I do? God said, cast out the demon. I said, well, how am I supposed to do that? Do I need to get a big service? And I went off about 3 or 4 weeks what to do. And God said, let's go up to her. And I went up to this woman, quietly, just where Sue is sitting. I said to her, in the name of the Lord, leave this woman and never come back. The woman is transformed. In the name of Jesus, I said it. Nothing about me. I didn't do anything because I have no innate authority in myself. But I do in the name of Jesus. And we have this story in Acts to make you think. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Yes. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. 7 sons of Sceva, Jewish high priests, were doing this. Or chief priests. One day. Oh, sorry, gone too far. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know. And Paul I know about. But who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that he ran out of the house naked and bleeding. The enemies could do some tough punches. He's got some power. But nothing like the name of Jesus Christ who's living in you and me. There's nothing like it. And it was the fact that they could quote the name, but they didn't have the spirit. Their heart wasn't given over to God. Winston Churchill said this, "What is the use of living if it is not to strive for noble causes and to make this muddled world a better place for those who live in it after we are gone? How else can we put ourselves in harmonious relation with the great verities?" That's our principles of belief. Things of fundamental importance. In harmonious relationship with the great verities and consolations, comfort of the infinite and the eternal. And I avow my faith that we are marching towards better days. Humanity will cast down. We are going on swinging bravely forward and along the grand high road. And already behind the distant mountains is the promise of the sun. The sun is spelled S-U-N. And you think, this man understood things until I read this quote from him. "I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the ordeal of meeting me is another matter." The arrogance of that statement is quite incredible. What did that scripture say? Every knee will bow. And you just think, Winston, Mr. Churchill, Prime Minister, you have grand words. You did amazing things. You stood up in a country where we need a man like you to stand up. But I pray that wasn't his final view of God. I pray he said at some point, "Lord, I just want to stand and gaze into your eyes and see the wonder and to realize what you've done for me. How you took me from this vagabond to riches beyond belief. How you took this hurted person, this person's out of control, and you restored me, you healed me, you rebuilt me." I don't know. But what I do know is, he said, it's about victory. It's about victory. And victory comes in the name of Jesus. Mark and I were saying the same thing this morning. War was something my parents never talked about it until we were coming back from a trip of Europe and we were on a ferry coming from Zeebrugge to Dover. And believe it or not, one of our neighbours, six doors away, was on the same boat with his wife, who was German. And they sat on the top deck in the glorious sun and they talked about the stories of the war. And I'd never heard any of this. I was about a 14-year-old. I sat there listening to the stories of the war. But though they told about the funny side, the stories they had and things they did and the seriousness of comrades, I thought, I've never experienced it. Then we went to war to win back the Falkland Islands. I was proud. My heart, you know, is the Brits going out? And you saw the men walking from one side of the island through to Port Stanley. And you saw us doing this and that. Then I saw HMS Sheffield with a rocket. Took it out on the way down. And then we had, I think it was Galahad, the troop ship got bombed. And they showed this picture in colour of a man on a stretcher with his leg missing. And I have never forgot that. My pride was lifted up with Margaret Thatcher. We're going to go down and reclaim it. The truth of war. The horrors of war. My uncle, I've never known, is one of many. And you'll go through your own families and find people who didn't come back. People who came back different to what they were when they went. Those who came back with physical disabilities, emotional disabilities, and spiritual disabilities. But in the name of healing, of Jesus, there is healing. He may not put the leg back, but there's healing of the emotions. Because God is a God of restoring. And we are in a battle. Yes, I may not see the enemy. It's a bit like today's battle when they press a button from a drone, firing it 3,000 miles away. They can land a bomb on somebody's house. But the guy doing it is removed. The guy in that house in North Africa or wherever doesn't even see the person attacking him. And I go, I'm not sure who's attacking me. I feel the effects of the attacks that God does, and the enemy. And I said to God, I don't mind the enemy attacking me, Lord. I'll cope with that. I don't mind it him attacking Louise. But when he starts attacking my children, my grandchildren, this is not a fair war, Lord. But the enemy doesn't play fair. He is nasty. His sole purpose is to break the relationship you have with God and to stop you sharing that good news with somebody else. He wants to stop you having that prayer life in the name of Jesus. He wants to stop you serving in the name of Jesus. He wants to stop you putting on the armor of God in the name of Jesus and casting out demons. So the devil wants to stop you because he wants to stop you going to heaven. He wants to stop you to having a victorious life. He wants to stop you being free. My forefathers and mothers fought that I might have freedom. I look at today's politics and I go, what happened to it? Jesus gave his life that I might have freedom. And it is incredible. If you know Christ as Saviour, then hallelujah. If you're not sure, I'm happy to talk, any of us are, to share with you what it means. I have not found it easy for the last 50 years. I've struggled at times. Louise will give you a catalogue of issues and mistakes I've made. I won't deny it, but God, through Jesus Christ, never gave up on me. The battles can be hard, but I praise the Lord for you lot because we can stand shoulder to shoulder and stand our ground before God. Let's close with a word of prayer and I hand back to Sharon. Lord, I just thank you and praise you that, Father, you are Lord of lords and King of kings, and you have won the victory. And Lord, it's not based upon how I feel. It's a truth. And I didn't stumble upon it because you revealed yourself to me. And I pray you just help me with today and tomorrow's issues I'm going to face, Lord. Help me to talk to you. Help me to be a servant when you want to use me. And Lord, in the battlefield, Father, be my protector, my shield, my fortress. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Amen.